The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
Back to our show, Chris Doran. Of course, Chris, a busy day, busy week. We're 2 days in, and if you had to chisel this down to what your top takeaway would be so far, what would
I missed Coach Kiffin. I was glad to hear some of that sound. I was on radio a little bit earlier when he was on the podium. That was great stuff. I look forward to going back and watching his entire address there in front of the media. But I think to me, Paul, it's been about, you know, just how happy everybody that I've talked to is being here. And I know that's not typically the case. We like coming here because it signals the start of the season and we get a chance to get back together after being away from the offseason. But all of these coaches legitimately, I think, are happy to be here. And I think the takeaway from me is that this is finally getting back to some normalcy in college football.
You're right. I was talking to somebody earlier today in a group of people went by, and I wasn't sure who it was, and all of a sudden the guy walked over to me, and it was Kirby Smart, and we talked for a second, and you know, Kirby, he said, I am genuinely happy to be here. I mean,
him, that's shocking,
emphasized
right?
it twice, and you're right. I think, and Stoop said it a minute ago, and others have said it, June may have been an insane month, but they had to have it.
Yeah. Now the recruiting and talking with all these coaches, just what a madhouse it's been after having the spigot turned off. And then all of a sudden the rush for everybody to get on campus with June and July's recruiting periods being open. I know it's been a lot for them. And I heard Kirby talking earlier offset about, you know, he didn't get a chance to play any golf this offseason, and just how different things have been. But I know they have a lot of juice in the tank to get back in front of the full houses that we enjoy playing in front of here in the SEC. And I'm excited about watching it this year as well.
Let's talk about Georgia for a moment, because we talked a lot of personalities here with some of the coaches, but I want to get on the field with you because they are clearly the favorite. They will be when the week ends. Gators are being taken a little bit for granted by some. So much has been made about they're not in this poll, they're not in that. I asked Coach Mullen yesterday, and he really didn't seem to care.
He didn't seem like he knew either, did he?
He's like, it was funny because I didn't phrase the question right. One of these days I'm going to learn how to interview people. And I said, you are not in the top 25. And he said, you mean I'm not?
Like he took it personally. Like,
I said,
he
no,
the
you're,
top coach.
You're good. I mean, you're a top 10 coach, but your team is. And then he almost seemed relieved. Okay, at least I'm in there.
I firmly believe that he's one of the best schemers and one of the best play callers we have in the league and maybe in the country as well. I think he's done more with less. If you go back and look at that 4-7 team that he inherited and the fact that they've been to 3 New Year's 6 bowl games, I think it speaks to his ability to overcome deficiencies. The offensive line has been a big deficiency for them. Obviously, developing quarterbacks and the production he got from Kyle Trask the last year and a half has been huge. And that's why I look at this season. I'm not concerned about the quarterback vacancy or filling Kyle Pitts' shoes or Kadarius Toney. Like, to me, it's the defense. And everybody wants to talk about the passing yards given up, but I think that was a manifestation of the defensive line. Florida hasn't had the normal defensive lines that they've had in the past. They don't have those studs up front. They get a few transfers that come in, hopefully can help. Zach Carter coming back, but they've got to find a way to get pressure with their front four and penetrate against the run to be a little more disruptive.
And if you look at the schedule, and we put it up there a minute ago, this is a crazy thing to say. It's really not that difficult other than the obvious, Georgia and Alabama.
But you get Alabama at home early in the season when Alabama's trying to put their pieces together. I don't think you could ask for a better situation than to have them in week 3. You get Tennessee coming. You get Florida State coming to the swamp. Like, it really is a manageable situation. I think everybody's putting the emphasis on the Georgia game, because even if you lose Alabama, you still have a chance to beat Georgia head-to-head and get the differential that way. So it's going to come down to Jacksonville like it always does in the East. The last 6 years, I believe, the winner's gone on to represent the East in Atlanta. So I think that's the game that I point to the most. Although, don't sleep on Coach Stoops' team. Yeah. I'm excited about what Kentucky has. That the totality of the talent that they have from top to bottom, I think PB and I talked about it this morning. That's the most important quarterback competition in the league, in my opinion, this year in Kentucky.
Let's continue, because you know, there are those schools that don't get the necessary attention. Missouri is another one you hear people really excited about. How do you see them?
You know, the reason why we should be excited about them 2 years ago we came here, there were 9 quarterbacks representing the 14 schools at Media Days. This year we have, what, 3? And it speaks to the inexperience that we have at the most important position there is in this game. So Connor Bazelak has not been talked about enough. I think Connor Bazelak is one of the best quarterbacks, obviously, we have in this conference, one of the most experienced, which is not saying a lot. But I think the way that Coach Drink utilizes him, how their schemes put pressure on defenses, his athleticism, I don't think people talk about his running ability as much as they should. I think he's going to be one of the breakout players of 2021.
So let's stay in the East for a second. Josh Heupel is here today. I'm hearing things about Tennessee football that I didn't think I'd ever hear. You know, maybe 6 wins. Maybe next year we could get. And you know, he faces the same thing a lot of coaches, including Mark Stoops, faced 8 or 9 years ago. But when you look at Tennessee and you know what's ahead, how do you formulate an opinion on them?
I'll probably defer to you, you know, knowing that you know that inner workings a little bit better than I do. But I believe that given all that's happened off the field, given all the departures of the big-name players, I mean, I don't think anybody's lost as big a name players as what Tennessee has lost through the transfer portal. I think this is year zero for that coaching staff. I think Josh Heupel comes in, if they can make it fun again, if they can do what Lane Kiffin did at Oxford last year and create some excitement with an offense that's entertaining and you can put points up. Their defense is not going to be very good. So go out there and just do exactly what Ole Miss did. Give the Vol fans something to be excited about and to hang their hat on for future years. And it does 2 things. It allows you to recruit, you know, offensive players that want to be a part of putting up numbers in an offensive system like Josh Heupel has. And it also shows, hey, defensively, we need a lot of help. You got a chance to come in and play right away. I think that's a great recruiting pitch as well.
We're going to talk about Georgia in the final half hour with somebody that's close to that program, but they are getting all the attention. I mean, and I'm not forgetting Alabama, but when you look at Georgia, how do you evaluate what you see on the field and what you know they have behind that?
I'm excited about their offense. I mean, looking at what we saw the last 4 weeks of the season, I know people say, oh, look at their schedule, it got a little easier in the last 4 games. But at the end of the day, you could tell a difference with JT Daniels pushing the ball down the field. As a receiver, I saw a revitalization of their receivers. George Pickens, I know he'll miss part of the season, if not all the season, but he looked like he was more energized by the threat of the deep pass. You look at the receivers, Jermaine Burton is back. Kyaris Jackson had a great year. They're much more experienced at that position, and I think there's a lot to be excited about. The offensive line, maybe some questions there, but they're going to put up big numbers offensively, and it really is nothing more than what Coach Spurrier used to talk to us about. We're just going to go where they ain't. We're going to throw it where they ain't. Well, if they're going to put an extra safety back to defend against the pass, then we're going to be able to run the football like they did against Missouri. They want to come up and play run support and leave a single high safety. We're going to take advantage of our opportunities on the outside. So I just think it's as simple as having the right trigger man in that offense that's going to allow them to run the entirety of that Todd Monken playbook.
Let's flip it over. Alabama, it's cliche, but there's nothing to do other than to admit the
obvious. Isn't that amazing, though, to think about all that they lose, quarterback, Heisman Trophy winner, X factor at the receiver position, maybe one of the most well-rounded, complete running backs they've ever had, offensive line, offensive coordinator, a couple defensive pieces, and yet we still put them right back into being in Atlanta, being in the college football playoffs again?
Are we just doing that from a lazy standpoint? Has anyone really?
They've earned it, right?
But you're an evaluator when you, and sometimes it's hard to evaluate what you haven't seen a lot of, but. Yeah, if this roster was Mississippi State, what would you think?
I mean, we're talking about the same thing at Florida, and I don't think we give them the benefit of the doubt, right? A lot of those same pieces and turnover are taking place there. I think, you know, Coach Saban's earned it. The culture that he's created, the expectation for next man up and not missing a beat. I love the evolution of the offense. I mean, I give him a lot of credit. Lane Kiffin's the guy that we gotta give credit to. He came in and changed the course of how they play offense, and I love the way they've built on it with Brian Daboll, and you look at what Mike Locksley did and with the RPO stuff, Steve Sarkisian taking it to the next level. So to me, it's about how does Bill O'Brien take what's been built offensively and put his own fingerprint on it, and how quickly can Bryce Young acclimate to being the starting quarterback at Alabama, a much more wealthy quarterback at Alabama with the reports of him, you know, making that name, image, and likeness money. But there's a lot of pressure that goes along with that.
Yeah, I mean, we've never had to see a $1 million college quarterback
right?
Legitimately.
Yeah.
Let's talk about who's challenging Alabama, and the obvious choices are A&M and LSU. How do you differentiate those two teams?
I love what A&M has become. Remember, they were the joke in this conference about being soft. When they got to the SEC West portion of their schedule, they got dismantled. I love what they've done on the offensive and defensive lines. I know they lose a lot up front on the offensive side, but there's a lot of guys to be excited about in terms of what they've been able to recruit there. But just the mindset that Jimbo Fisher has instilled in terms of physicality, having the fullback, the tight end, being able to run the football downhill, I just think they have a lot to be excited about. The question I have, can you get over that Alabama hurdle? And I'm not necessarily buying, hey, we played them really close in the second half last year. It was a blowout in the first half. I want to see how they line up from the kickoff, and can they go toe-to-toe with them? Can they get over the mental hurdle that they have to be facing with Alabama? And LSU, you know, to me it was an aberration last season. It was a weird year for everybody. Quarterback gets hurt. You're playing with two different freshmen on that side of the ball. Defensively, they had zero communication, so you can't be any worse than what they were last year. But I do have concerns about neither coordinator on either side having had previous play-calling duties before. I think that's something that'll be interesting to see how it plays out.
Yeah, and I'm not diminishing anything that Ed Orgeron has done, but, you know, some schools you could maybe mask that a little bit, like Florida, mm-hmm. or another school. The coordinators are critical players at LSU.
Because of the setup, right? I mean,
yeah.
Because of what we praised Coach O for in 2019, being a CEO, letting everybody else coach, is what we basically criticized him for last year. He brought in guys that weren't a great fit and weren't able to connect with the players. And so this year, I think it's of utmost importance, obviously, that they do have the ability to coach those positions. And talking to Coach Chizik earlier today, there are nuances to calling plays, setting up things, recognizing, coming back to them later on. How quickly does Durante Jones acclimate to that? How quickly offensively are they able to get into a rhythm calling plays in the game?
Always cool to check in with Chris. We talk to him every Friday during the
season. Looking forward to it.
Can't wait to do that again.
Yeah, thanks so much, Paul. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Chris. We'll be right back. We are live at SEC Media Days. Mike Griffith will join us at the bottom of the hour. That's always a blockbuster. And we'll take a few phone calls when we come back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Day two, and it's been a good one. And Griff will join us in a few minutes. Let's get to college. Somebody asked me about this guy earlier. Did I have an update on Larry from Shelby County, which is just the right around the corner. Let's talk to Larry right now. Hello, Larry.
What's up, Paul? How about
you sound like you're alive and kicking, Larry. What's the deal?
Ooh, like a chicken, Jack. What are you talking about? I'm loving it, man. I'm loving it.
So how are you feeling?
Well, I've been good, man. I'm not going to go into that. I still ain't had that surgery, but I'm going to talk happy time. So.
Well, we just mainly, Larry, we just want to mainly know if you're still alive. After that, we're good.
Hell yeah, man. I feel that way every morning, brother. When I get up, woo, I go out there and just smell that fresh air on that river, and thank God. Hey, yeah, another day. But you know what, Paul? Hey, I'm loving it. It's here. It is here. It's game time. And I'm loving you, loving this show, getting back in it, man. It's feeling good. I'm serious. I'm really pumped. I don't know what my heart rate is now, but it's got to be up there. I got shot.
Well, Larry, I'm not a cardiologist, but I did sleep at a Holiday Inn Express last night, and I want you to be careful. So, you don't want to get. Not that you're elderly or anything, but don't get too excited yet.
I know, man. You come up with some good ones, Bob. I love you, man. I love the show. I miss it. I miss a lot of things. You know, that I'm getting back to trying to do. You know that.
Well, we're going to try to bring your I don't know what you call the guys in the other room, Danny and Kubiak. Well, we're going to try to bring them back very soon. So keep your eye on this tube.
Hey, boy, I can't wait to slap Kubiak around. Oh, that smart. Boy, I'd like to slap that smart one time. I swear.
Okay, well, I think we can arrange that. Hey, Larry, you be well. You're glad to hear you're doing well. Let's go to Augie in New Orleans. Hello, Augie.
Hey, Paul, you really stirred up Larry's blood pressure with that Kubiak.
I mean, if you can get that excited about Mark Kubiak, what does that say about you?
I don't know, but Paul, is Sankey providing you guys a buffet or at least a snack bar up there?
I think it's a. I don't know. I haven't seen it. If he is.
Oh well, I'm sure Griffith will find out. You can ask him when he shows
well,
up.
That was a loaded question there. I should have answered. I thought I'd let everybody see him first.
Well, you got to ask him how many jumps he's made. I want to know. I want to know how many he's made. But Paul, is the jury still out in O?
I think it is, and I had one person from Louisiana tell me yesterday. Listen, as long as he wins big, everything else is great.
Well, that's what I mean. I mean, is the jury out on him as a coach, or did he just get lucky having the two Joes that year?
I don't know. I think he won a lot of goodwill with his hires, and then I do think he threw some of that away last year. That Bo Pelini hire may go down as one of the worst coordinator hires in modern SEC history.
Well, it gets my vote as the worst. But, Paul, do you see any pressure on Kirby? Because the way I look at it, if Georgia doesn't win at all, Griffith is going to have to shave his head, and Georgia fans are going to have to keep their mouths shut on Twitter because it's all lined up for him this year as I see it. How do you see it?
I think it is. I think they're in that rarefied air at the top. So I really don't buy that he has to win it all because I think he runs such a great program. But I think the only thing you don't know is if he doesn't win it all, how does he lose those games? And, you know, that haunted him during the 17 year, the 18 year, when he blew. I mean, I say he blew those leads. It's so hard to get a 10-point lead against Alabama or double-digit lead that, you know, the blowing it is a little bit of an overreach. Hey, thanks so much for the call. Adam is up next in Oregon. Hello, Adam. Wow, I like the sound of that. I don't know what I'm listening to. Nick is up next in Florida. Hello, Nick.
Hey, Paul. Love your show. Appreciate your show. I had a few questions, especially Gene Chizik was on earlier, Coach Chizik, and talking about the transfer portal. And I had questions, but now I can just share a little bit with, you know, the experience that I'm going through with my son. He went JUCO. He signed full scholarship with Utah State. Some, you know, crazy stuff happened up there. He had to leave as far as, like, you know, one of their assistant offensive line coaches was sending my son, you know, videos of dudes doing, you know, crazy stuff to themselves. And he's like, I could picture you doing this. So I had my son, he tailed. They buried him on the roster, you know, had to get him out and transfer portal. And then getting back to my question. So with that said, it's like all the stories of, you know, transferring out, could be different situations. You know, even the Mountain West don't only offers year scholarships, so they could chuck it every year if they wanted to. So there's just different things. And, you know, I think as far as the transfer portal goes, but I was getting to, he applied, he's, you know, with Tennessee, they accepted him. You know, he wants to walk on, like, you know, Coach Chizik said, but we can't find the walk-on dates. And we don't know if it's like, are they being punished, or, you know, I've been scouring the internet. I don't know if it's a secret. I don't know, you know, because he plays middle linebacker, and we were thinking, well, with all the trouble they had, you know, how could it be?
I wish I could provide some more answers for you, Nick. I'll check into it as best I can with the people here, but all the best to you, and stay in touch. Thank you so much. So let's go to Knoxville. Sam is up next. Hello, Sam.
Paul, what's going on, man?
We're doing great.
Time has come. Football is here. I know you're down there. Y'all in Alabama again?
Yeah, we're in Alabama this year. Next year, I think we're back in Atlanta. And I think ultimately we're going to Nashville for this event.
Nice. Okay, so they're mixing that up a little bit. But it's been in Alabama for how long?
Yeah, I mean, Hoover, it's been in Alabama every year but one. In 2018, it was in Atlanta, and I don't think it was supposed to be here this year. I think this was supposed to be Nashville, but I think Nashville is planning something pretty spectacular from what I've heard, and they wanted this was not the year, because even though this is a great event, this is not a full stadium here this week.
Right, and it's not Nashville, it's Alabama. So I guess you got Saban's dry cleaning all set out for him and everything.
Yeah, I try to keep it as fresh as possible, so I will go. I'll be waiting at 7 o'clock tomorrow at the dry cleaners, and then I will be – I'll wait outside the hotel for the 8 Hoover motorcycle policemen who are escorting him in off the interchange.
So he came out and said that about the QB. Now, was that the amount of money he got before he got there, or after the NIL was made official?
I'm gonna remember. You don't probably remember Ronald Reagan when President Reagan was getting on the helicopter and he heard a question he didn't like. He would put his hand over his ear and say, act like I couldn't hear it. So, I don't think I heard your question.
Well, you know, Jeremy left here and he learned from the best. You know, and we all know this was happening before the NIL. Now it's going to be much easier for this to go on. You know, these guys getting the money, and you know, Pruitt learned from the best down there with Nick. You know, the NIL. What's your take on that? On the NIL.
Well, my take is that I thought it was a great opportunity for young people to make a little money, whether it's football or gymnastics or softball or volleyball. I think what we heard today from Saban surprised a lot of people. But remember something, and Kiffin alluded to it a couple of minutes ago. Nick Saban didn't just accidentally say what he did today in Texas. It was a setup for what he intends to say here tomorrow. I don't know what he intends to say, but he will. It's the biggest stage he'll be on in the offseason, and he will have a message on NIL, and that's why he dropped that little nugget today. There are a lot of reasons why you are the best at what you do, whatever you do, and Saban proved that again today. We'll take a break. Mike Griffith joining us. We'll talk about the Dogs and the SEC. Final 30 minutes of day two, right ahead.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Mike Griffith's joining us. Mike, I before we even get going, we were just playing Kirby Smart for some of you who maybe missed him earlier, which could be some of you. I mean, that was Kirby Smart on Red Bull. What's going on here?
he's excited. He likes his football team, man. He's got a good football team. Wants to talk about it a little bit, right? Come to Birmingham. That's what you do. You get off the plane, come in here, answer a few questions, showcase your program, recruit, and create some optimism for the Georgia Bulldogs.
Mike Griff, who I've known a long time, I've made my cracks about the slovenly appearance of sports writers, but you continue to defy that image. Every time I see you, you're even more impeccably dressed.
Yeah, well, you know, this is a special event, right? I mean, everybody's excited to be here. It's kind of a reunion. We didn't have this last year. You know, coming on SEC Network with Paul Feinman, gotta look good, right? And no, seriously, though, I mean, this is something I think a lot of people take a lot of pride in. It was good to look out into the audience, Paul, and see a lot of friends and colleagues. And you think about how long we've been in the business. And the last year has been tough on everyone, you know, but for people that make their living traveling and interacting and networking, right, it's especially hard to sit home and not really be able to communicate in person and get a feel for other people. So I'm pretty fired up about it. This has been a great event.
No, I have to tell you, it was really a challenge last year during the season because we were at home like you were, not able to travel. And you know, you had to kind of guard letting that out, your disappointment. And I mean, it wasn't despondent, but it was, I mean, you and I have done this a number of years. We haven't gotten too many years where we're just, watching the world go by, especially, you know, not visiting other places.
Yeah, it's different. You know, when you go to these states, I mean, that's part of what makes the SEC so special is, right, the passion. This stuff you feel when you go to the stadium, you feel it. You don't just see it when you go to a stadium. You sense it. You feel it. It's the smell in the air, the tailgating, right? You can hear the band playing, the people with the music and the tailgates and the cheers. You know, when you're sitting at home, it just, and don't get me wrong, I think television does a great job on the big screen.
We think
but
so
there's
too.
Nothing like being there, man. And that's part of what I think really drives the SEC. And the passion, it's a part of the society here. It goes beyond just sports and Saturday. This is an everyday thing and a part of the culture in the Southeast.
Okay, let's get to the meat of the bone here, as we say out in Texas. You're heading to Charlotte, North Carolina tomorrow. You're going to be interviewing Dabo Swinney on, I mean, I'm just thinking, here's a guy that covers the SEC. And you're going on the dark. You're going over to the dark side, but there's a reason. You're not the only one. I talked to another pretty prominent writer because that game is such a big showcase for college football.
Well, it is, and Georgia-Clemson is kind of an old rivalry. A lot of people kind of wish they had it back. You know, these schools aren't that far apart. As the crow flies, Georgia is closer to Clemson than it is to Georgia Tech. You can drive to Georgia Tech about 5-6 minutes faster, but these schools are pretty close.
Maybe in Atlanta.
You know, and this is a game Dabo Swinney said if he could play it every year, he would. I mean, he threw that out there, and magically, all of a sudden, this game came up as a neutral site game in Charlotte. So I think these are two schools that want to play one another. They recruit against one another, and I think it really sets the stage for the season. It's really a no-lose situation. Either one of these teams could lose and still come back and make the college football playoff and win a national championship. So why not not showcase your program and have that litmus test, you're going to find, hey, listen, Georgia's not going to find out anything playing UAB. You're not going to find out anything playing against Vanderbilt, assuming they show up. You're not really going to find out about your team. But when you line up against the Clemson.
I have never heard one man carry a grudge deeper and farther than you against Vanderbilt University.
I'm a Vanderbilt fan. I love Nashville. There's so much potential there. But could they just give it
to my wife's a Vanderbilt graduate, and I just think you have to let that go.
All right. Well, we won't, no more Vanderbilt cracks. but certainly the Georgia Clemson game. The fact it's in Charlotte, we talked a little bit about that. That's interesting to me. Kind of a second home for Clemson. Play there every year in the ACC championship.
Yeah, I can't say you're really pushing it, but you made a big deal about this game being in Charlotte.
Yeah, well, I make a big deal out of these being neutral site games. Yeah. These should be home and homes. We need to bring these games to campus, in my opinion. That's where college football belongs. I think there's a place for the neutral site game, but when the campuses are located 60 miles apart, it seems kind of silly to me, right? And you're talking about two of the greatest game day environments with Clemson and Georgia and Sanford Stadium. I mean, these, you know, but still, point remains, it's going to be a fantastic opening game. There's great subplots. You know, JT Daniels played, you know, DJU when they were in high school. They were high school rivals out there in Southern California. And certainly there's going to be a lot of fans looking on. And who you got? Clemson's a favorite in this game. It kind of surprised me a little bit. But I think it's going to
be. Why does that surprise you?
Because they just
Clemson's
lost.
They've been great. At the top of the heap for a long time.
Yeah, well, they didn't look so great against Ohio State, one. And two, Trevor Lawrence isn't there anymore.
Oh.
Trevor Lawrence was a pretty special guy. You know, Notre Dame was able to beat Clemson without Trevor Lawrence. You put Trevor in there, Notre Dame loses 34-10, and, I don't know, makes their case to the College Football Playoff Committee that they belonged in, and they somehow got in losing by 24. Clemson. I don't know how that happened. If they were lost by 50, probably would have gotten there. Maybe they already had it penciled in or something. I don't know. But I don't know how you get in the college football playoff, man.
I really did not have a problem with putting them in. I mean, who should have been in?
Well, I mean, you had a Texas A&M team that's only loss came to the most dynamic Alabama offense in history like 2 months before. And you had an undefeated Cincinnati team. What'd they do wrong?
Cincinnati?
Well, I mean, UCF showed you in 2017. They go undefeated, go down there, beat Auburn in a bowl game, the same Auburn team that beat Alabama. The eventual national champion. Why not give an undefeated team a chance, Paul? Come on, you can't be an SEC snob all the time.
I'm not, but I wasn't the one coming up with Oliver Stone conspiracy theories a couple of years ago when Georgia didn't get in. I frankly didn't. You know, it didn't. I thought they should be in, but I got over it in about 3 seconds.
Yeah. Well, you know,
I didn't go to Dealey Plaza with a Polaroid camera.
No. You know what's done is done. You know, we got Kirby now quoting philosophers, 19th century.
Yeah. What about Henry David Thoreau? Yeah. And by the way, he was so proud of that too. It was like I nobody knew who he was quoting. Somebody would have figured that one out pretty quickly.
No, it was pretty good. Yeah, Kirby maybe had a little more time, you know, with COVID. They didn't travel as much. No, how many times can Kirby Smart answer the expectations, expectations, expectations? He's put it in his words before. He's told you here before that pressure is a privilege. He's given you the take that it takes what it takes. You don't want his words, so he's going to find a 19th century philosopher to give you a statement on how to handle pressure, the people that don't notice it, because he's too busy.
I mean, he could have gone back to Socrates or, you know, somebody like that.
Well,
I mean,
he
at least kept
year.
It within the family of the last 200 years. So I was a young gentleman from school paper, somebody down in Georgia today came up to me and he asked me a question you asked me recently. So I'm going to ask you because I'm tired of answering it. I already know what his question was, is this a make or break year for Kirby Smart?
Yeah.
How many times have you heard that?
No, I mean, every year, you know, it's flashbacks to Tennessee circa late 90s, right? You know, they had all the talent. They're on the verge. There's that one obstacle named Steve Spurrier. You know, now it's Saban. Right. I mean, clearly Georgia has a championship caliber roster. They've got the trigger man. They got the quarterback from Southern California. They got the NFL coordinator run those pass concepts that, like you saw Sark do at Alabama, like you saw Brady do at LSU. Lots of five-star guys, the best defensive front in college football. Everything is there. But you still got to win it. You still got to go out there and do it. Having the fastest car doesn't mean you win the race.
But what I want you to get underneath these questions, though. You know, you did an interview with me a couple weeks ago, and I went off on it because we're on the same page. So, but everyone didn't perhaps see that. So try to explain Is that just a lazy question? Is it disingenuous? Is it disingenuous? Is it dishonest? Why are people asking that question about Kirby Smart?
Well, I mean, it's an all or nothing society, right? You got to win the big trophy. You got to win the championship, right? That's what separates you. If you don't win it all, you know, what is it? If you ain't first, you're last, right? I mean, it's just, it's not.
Was that Henry David Thoreau or Dale Earnhardt?
I think it might be Ricky Bobby, but I'm in a little different circle than Kirby Smart. Payroll category as well, for that matter. But I just feel like at Georgia, the 1980 thing, it just doesn't go away. It's been 40 years, Paul, since Georgia has won a national championship. They've had a lot of talent. They've got a lot of in-state talent. They've got a top 20 academic. So they've got everything you would seem to need to have. They've got the payroll. They've got the former player coaching them now. He's 45, 40. If you drew up a coach for Georgia, he would look and sound like Kirby Smart. So if you have everything, why haven't you delivered yet? And the answer is Nick Saban. Nick Saban is a dynamo and has been. And what Alabama has done, and they keep reloading. Let me tell you, if they can reload
Nick Saban didn't have anything to do with losing that Florida game last year.
Well, it took a lot to go wrong. That was a cascade of
events. Okay, I don't want to go through it again, but I just want to make sure people.
Yeah. Well, you know, that was a great season for Florida, though.
Oh.
I mean, Dan Mullen told us. I was listening. I said, gosh, you know, 8-4 at Florida is a great season? My, how things have changed. I was talking with Coach Spurrier today. I said, was 8-4 a good year when you were the head coach? But that was a great season for Florida. Hey, let's give it up. Florida 8-4, man. Maybe they'll have another great 8-4 season this year.
We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.